It must be appreciated that the only difficult part of making a fission bomb of some sort is the preparation of a supply of fissionable material of adequate purity. The design of the bomb itself is relatively easy. Encyclopedia Americana. To Al Zuckerman. Triple. Prologue. There was a time, just once, when they were all together. They met many years ago, when they were young, before all this happened, but the meeting cast shadows far across the decades. It was the first Sunday in November, 1947 to be exact, and each of them met all the others. Indeed, for a few minutes, they were all in one room. Some of them immediately forgot the faces they saw and the names they heard spoken in formal introductions. Some of them actually forgot the whole day. And when it became so important, 21 years later, they had to pretend to remember, to stare at blurred photographs and murmur, "Ah, yes, of course," in a knowing way. This early meeting is a coincidence, but not a very startling one. They were mostly young and able. They were destined to have power, to take decisions, and to make changes each in their different ways in their different countries. And those people often meet in their youth at places like Oxford University. Furthermore, when all this happened, those who were not involved initially were sucked into it just because they had met the others at Oxford. However, it did not seem like an historic meeting at the time. It was just another sherry party in a place where there were too many sherry parties, and undergraduates would add not enough sherry. It was an uneventful occasion. Well, almost. Al Cortoni knocked and waited in the hall for a dead man to open the door. The suspicion that his friend was dead had grown to a conviction in the past 3 years. First, Cortoni had heard that Nat Dickstein had been taken prisoner. Towards the end of the war, stories began to circulate about what was happening to Jews in the Nazi camps. Then, at the end, the grim truth came out. On the other side of the door, a ghost scraped a chair on the floor and padded across the room. Cortoni suddenly felt nervous. What if Dickstein were disabled, deformed? Suppose he'd become unhinged. Cortoni had never known how to deal with cripples or crazy men. He and Dickstein had become very close just for a few days back in 1943. But what was Dickstein like now? The door opened, and Cortoni said, "Hi, Nat." Dickstein stared at him. Then his face split in a wide grin, and he came out with one of his ridiculous Cockney phrases. "God, stone the crows." Cortoni grinned back, relieved. They shook hands and slapped each other on the back and let rip some soldierly language just for the hell of it. Then they went inside. Dickstein's home was one high-ceilinged room of an old house in a rundown part of the city. There was a single bed, neatly made up in army fashion, a heavy old wardrobe of dark wood with a matching dresser, and a table piled with books in front of a small window. Cortoni thought the room looked bare. If he had to live here, he would put some personal stuff all around to make the place look like his own. Photographs of his family, souvenirs of Niagara and Miami Beach, his high school football trophy. Dickstein said, "What I want to know is, how did you find me?" "I'll tell you, it wasn't easy." Cortoni took off his uniform jacket and laid it on the narrow bed. "Took me mostly yesterday." He eyed the only easy chair in the room. Both arms tilted sideways at odd angles. A spring poked through the faded chrysanthemums of the fabric, and one missing foot had been replaced with a copy of Plato's Theaetetus. "Can human beings sit on that? Not above the rank of sergeant, but they aren't human anyway." They both laughed. It was an old joke. Dickstein brought a bentwood chair from the table and straddled it. He looked his friend up and down for a moment and said, "You're getting fat."